they let me know that they wouldn't be able to keep me on because they had lost all of the big projects that they had basically brought me on board to manage. My house lost $180,000 in equity overnight, and nobody was hiring and nobody was giving out mortgages. I've been through the rubbish times. I've been through the amazing times. You know, we've had 100K launches. We've had failed launches. I've done it all. We've done paid advertising. We've done like organic marketing. It's all there because I really do feel that, yes, we need to lead by example. We need to show people what's possible. But the other thing that I'm also really passionate about is cutting the BS.
Have you ever wondered how successful businesses and thought leaders keep landing those big media opportunities and keep the buzz going around what they're up to? It's not just by chance. They're all using the power of storytelling. I'm Nicola J. Rowley, and with over 25 years in the media as both a journalist and PR expert, I'm here to help you unlock the story potential for both you and your brand. Everything starts with a story. This is the Power of Storytelling podcast. Well, hello there. It's great to have you with us on another episode of The Power of Storytelling. And today we're going to be looking at what happens when everything goes wrong. How can you rebuild and make everything turn out even better than before? Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you will know that I am very much lateral thinking. Let's think positively. Let's think as big as possible, because there never should be any constraints that you put on yourself, because let's see where this journey in life actually takes us. But my guest today is all about that. And she has gone from rock bottom and built herself back up. And we're going to be listening to her incredible journey of where she is now. Emma Johnson is a fabulous business strategist, and she helps people, particularly with tech systems, really getting to grips with how to make your business as successful as possible. And I'm delighted that she's joining us here today. Hello, Emma.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Lovely to be here.
Now, your story actually started just over 10 years ago. Tell us what happened for you and how it kind of transpired.
Yeah, so I'd probably go back even a little bit further than that, actually, Nicola. So when I graduated from university, I felt like I'd landed it. I got a job straight out of university. It was involved international travel. It was amazingly well paid. I managed to go from job to job to job. I was headhunted in my 20s, thought I had made it. Probably got a little bit too big for my boots. And the universe has an amazing way of like auto correcting. So I'd bought a property in London all by myself. I'd taken out a huge mortgage. It was an absolutely gorgeous garden flat. I'd been headhunted for a high powered recruitment job. I was top of the company and I was doing amazing things. So the world went into recession and I literally had the rug pulled from under my feet. So I was in a new job. It was paying brilliantly, six-figure job. And on 5 weeks and 5 days into that, so it was literally the last day of my probationary period, they let me know that they wouldn't be able to keep me on because they had lost all of the big projects that they had basically brought me on board to manage. My house lost $180,000 in equity overnight, and nobody was hiring and nobody was giving out mortgages.
How do you pick yourself up from that point? I guess you could have probably rented out the property, but what did you actually do apart from obviously having that initial panic?
It was, but it was one of those scenarios of, well, I can't sell this house because I'm worse off. It's one of those, I've got to ride the storm. It was worth less than I paid for it. And at the time, nobody was buying because nobody was lending. It wasn't a starter home. It was a home in London. It's like not the cheapest of properties in the first place. So I did have to look to rent it out. And I was like, well, then what do I do with myself? Like, where do I live? It was a 2-bedroom garden flat in the center of London. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to start over. And it was a case of looking within, like, what skills do I have? What skills are transferable? What am I flipping awesome at? And what can I do? And, you know, for a while there, I was living on carrot soup because carrots were cheap and I could like make up soup. I was walking dogs. I was making curtains for people. I had a piano. I was offering piano lessons. But obviously that, you know, doesn't keep the roof over your head. I still had bills to pay. But I had a yoga holiday booked. And it was one of those things that I went off on holiday and I had a week where I was bending myself like a pretzel and I had an awful lot of time to think. I can teach. I'm a really, really good teacher. My superpower is being able to see solutions where most people see problems. I did that for myself. It was very serendipitous. I just came out and I said, right, well, I speak foreign languages. I speak French and German. That's what my degree is in. And I'm a really good teacher. So what job opportunities are there out there? Teaching's not going anywhere. And I happened to go online and look for teaching jobs. This is like really crazy. This was July, just before all the schools broke up and all the courses were done. And there was a school 1 mile from my apartment that was looking for an immediate start trainee teacher because the languages teacher had just been awarded an adopted child and was taking immediate maternity leave. And I was like, right, well, that's me. And I wrote my letters and I phoned and I followed up. I just used that tenacity of where there's a will, there's a way. And I just went for it and landed that job. It was enough to cover the mortgage, but nothing else. So no bills, no food, no petrol, no nothing. So I still had to then think, I need to rent my apartment out. And I was very fortunate, but you know, in my mid-30s, I then moved back home with my parents. Again, very fortunate that they lived 13 miles from the school that had just given me the job. But it was, I did what I had to do. And then from there, I needed to find somewhere that I could work and afford to live. That's where my teaching job started.
I love this because sometimes when we have those moments where things all go horribly wrong, we don't take the time to actually think. We kind of like rush at the first thing that we possibly can because we just need a solution. So we do it really fast. Whereas actually, if you take yourself out, even like you did, just for a week, where you can just sit with, what am I going to do next? How is this going to pan out? How do I want my life to be? I think it opens up more doors and it opens up a different way of thinking, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the word that you use there is something that's like really, really precious to me. And you use the word want. And for me, when I work on myself or with clients or I do anything, that's the one thing I come down to. And it's the one thing that most people do not give enough time and attention to. I really, really insist on deciding what do you want? Free from limitation, free from any judgment. What is it that you want? Like, I knew that I did not want to have my house repossessed. I also knew that I did not want to be living with my parents for any length of time. It's not a good look in London, age 35, to be living with your parents, having, you know, had a successful career and having had your own property. So I knew that there were things that I wanted to protect. I would say at that age, I still didn't quite know what I wanted in terms of like vocation, but I did know that at some point I wanted a family, I wanted to be married, and I did want that ability to travel. So it's like, well, how do I set myself up for this? And in that moment, it was, how do I get through this phase, this like season of my life without leaning into self-pity? So I was really like, what can I do? How can I take action? And how can I use that as a stepping stone to the next thing?
Yeah. And so you went into teaching. You took this job at a local primary school. We're now 13 miles away. How long were you doing that for before you realized, hang on a second, because I am really good at teaching, I could actually do this myself and teach others and it be even more profitable?
I met my husband, my now husband, and we had a little boy. And that for me was the turning point. I think, you know, you're a parent yourself, Nicola. Having children is it's another one of those clarity moments in life. So my Bend It Like a Pretzel yoga holiday was clarity session number one. And then having my little boy was the real eye-opener. Again, it was that sit down, what do you want? And I knew that I didn't want to be a stay-at-home parent. I'm one of these people who I have a very active brain. I'm very solution-oriented, very, very driven. I like diving into things. But I knew I absolutely wanted to be present for my child. I now have two boys, but present for my children. I wanted the flexibility to work on my terms. I think any teachers listening to this will resonate with the fact that the teaching profession isn't quite what we wanted when we entered the teaching profession. There's rules and there's regulations, and there isn't the freedom and flexibility to really carve things out the way that we can when we run our own businesses. It was that decision when I had my little boy of, I don't want to be restricted to term times. I want to be helping people, but I want to be helping people achieve their goals and dreams. I don't want to be helping people necessarily to get into a career or a job. I really wanted to help people to reach their own potential, to have that trust that things can turn around. And I was living proof of that. So it was like, how can I build on that? How can I show people that you can absolutely go from nothing? I was in negative equity all the way through to where I am today, which is owning a multi-million dollar home outright. And we travel the world and generating over $500,000 in the business. It was a starting with, well, what do I want? And what am I really good at? And having my little boy was right. There's more here. There's more people that I can help, not just those in a school setting.
At what point did that light bulb come on? Like, obviously you've had your little boy and you're thinking, hang on a second, I want that freedom. I want that flexibility. I don't just want to do the term time, although the holidays are probably quite nice in terms of having more time off. But you wanted that ultimate kind of freedom to see him grow up and everything else. At what point did the light bulb really go on of, I know what I should be doing now?
Do we ever really know that, Nicola? Do we ever really know like what we want? I'm like this, like Peter Pan. I'm a child at heart. I just know that I'm here for something bigger than myself. I'm here to help other people achieve their fullest potential. And I think when we own businesses, it's really, really important to understand that when you start out, that's never the end product, and business evolves and it's organic and it flows. So I think that's really where I'm at, is that my business isn't the same as it was 4 years ago, and it won't be the same as it will be 4 years from now. Things will change, things will develop, my strengths will increase, the world will change, people's needs will change. And I think entrepreneurship is about being able to adapt to that. And that's something that I'm really, really passionate about. But the light bulb moment for me for entrepreneurship came when my little boy was 9 months old and I had to return back to work. And I realized then that I simply couldn't make the difference that I wanted to make in people's lives. I think that's what had drawn me to teaching in the first place. It was like I wanted to help young people really step up and establish themselves and really help them see that whatever they put their mind to is possible. But I couldn't do that in the school setting. It was very much teaching, like to get people through exams and very rigid around exam settings and along those lines. I wanted to show my little boy that you can achieve your dreams when you just decide what it is that you want and you go for it. So he's my driver. There's two of them now. They're in bed, but there's two of them now and they have a playroom that's directly opposite my office. And, you know, I'll often be on calls and they'll be playing with Lego, or, you know, sometimes they'll hop in over my shoulder and they might say hello to a client. And it was that freedom and flexibility and really to be able to show other, well, particularly mums as well. We tend to put a lot aside, don't we, when we have children, to show other people what's possible.
Do you know what? This resonates so much because I remember reaching a point. I mean, obviously, Jay came along. I don't know how much you know about my story, but when Jay came along, I was very much, you can do anything. You can achieve all your dreams. And then I realized that, hang on a second, I can't actually say that to him if I haven't done that myself, because at some point he's going to grow up and say, Mummy, did you do that? And I'd be like, no, I haven't done it. And that's how I made myself start writing children's books. So that's how that came about, because otherwise, you know, I was kind of like, oh, yes, I'm going to write a book one day. And that had always been the aim, you know, I'm going to write a book one day. And it was going to be adult fiction. It wasn't going to be children's. But when you see things through a child's eyes, the way they get so excited about stories and storytelling and everything else, that changed the whole kind of trajectory of everything. And I think it does, doesn't it? When you become a mum, it does change things a lot. And it doesn't matter whether you are a mum or you're not a mum and you're listening to this, there will be a point in your life where something will happen. It can be the loss of a job. It can be the loss of a friendship, relationship, you know, passing of a loved one, whatever it is, but it becomes a catalyst that you actually think, I've got to make the most of the life and the time that I do have on this planet. And I think there really is something quite special. And just talking to you, I know that we get on really well anyway, but that heart-led approach to thinking, I want to be able to impact other people's lives. I want to make a difference to more people so that they can realize that actually they don't have to go through life putting one foot in front of the other and just doing all the things that they're told that they have to do. But actually, when they look up, they can see that there is a whole world of possibilities out there. It's just being guided to that moment where they actually get to see that for themselves. That's an incredible moment, I guess, when you see that in potential clients, when people come to start working with you and you're getting them to that point and they suddenly realize that must be quite special to have that impact.
You mentioned there with the children, I think it's the children that are really, they hold the mirror up to us. And I loved what you said there about, you know, you've got to be the example. You can't tell Jay something and then do something different. And I think that's been very much the ethos of the way that I work. I lead by example. There is nothing that I do in my business, or I tell my clients in my business, that I haven't done myself. I've been through the rubbish times. I've been through the amazing times. You know, we've had 100K launches. We've had failed launches. I've done it all. We've done paid advertising, we've done like organic marketing. It's all there, because I really do feel that, yes, we need to lead by example. We need to show people what's possible. But the other thing that I'm also really passionate about is cutting the BS and removing that unnecessary complication which we as adults impose on ourselves. Like, children see things through such a black and white lens. And I really love to bring that into the business. My mission is to simplify success. That's what I remove the fuss. That doesn't mean make it super easy or that life is easy. There's always work involved, but it doesn't need to be difficult. It gets to be simple. And our children are the perfect example of that. My son will literally go, well, why can't you do that, Mum? And it's like, well, actually, yeah, why can't I do that? I'm the one that's making up those excuses. And sometimes there will be knowledge blocks, in which case lean in to help, seek out a mentor, seek out a coach, buy a course, whatever it is. If it's a time gap, lean on support, you know, like bring on a team member or ask your partner or do a parent exchange where, you know, I'll look after your kids one day and you look after my kids another day and we'll get stuff done. Life, business does get to be simple. We as adults are now so conditioned to make it harder than it needs to be. And I guess that's the child in me. Maybe that's what it is. But I find solutions to problems, not problems for solutions. Find the way, decide what you want, and then figure it out.
I think there's so much wisdom in simplifying everything, because you're right, it doesn't have to be overly complicated. And I always remember back in the day when I was kind of like trying to work out how I was going to be able to leave my corporate role, how I was going to be able to do everything, I bought into a course that was very much, right, this is how you launch a course. And I was like, right, okay, great. So, but then they made it really complicated. They were like, right, you've got to hire an Airbnb, you've got to find a camera operator, and then you've got to film it, and then you've got to edit everything. And I was just like, oh my gosh, well, I'm like, and then I've got to write the content and everything else. And we all know now that actually you need to, if you do it the right way, you need to sell the course before you write it. It's really important to do that, so you don't spend a long amount of time actually putting everything together and then no one actually buys it. You need to know that people are going to actually buy it. My question for you, Emma, is you'd been in this kind of negative equity scenario. You were kind of like, you know, at that rock bottom point. And yes, you'd gone into teaching. Yes, you'd had your little boy and you were just thinking, right, okay, I'm going to turn this around. You alluded to the fact that sometimes, like, especially getting going in business, it can be quite hard and quite challenging at times. Tell me about a time where you were able to overcome the challenge of getting that business up and running to become as successful as it is now.
I think it comes down to the fact that you have to know where you want to go. And when you have that absolute clear vision, it's about right, knocking down all the walls in your way. And unfortunately for most people, we make those decisions that, like, this is where I'm going, when somebody forces our hand. And that's how my journey was started. Like, I was like climbing that corporate ladder and I was in that, but I was really naive. I look back at that and it was purely money driven. There was no impact. You mentioned about heart-led. I wouldn't even have known that that was a term. In my 20s, it was all about going out, earning as much money as you can, going on great holidays and spending it. And I'm not very woo, but I am, you know, I do believe the universe throws us a curveball. And in that incident, it was the universe going, hang on, Emma, you're a little bit big for your boots. And it pulled the rug from under me and it forced me to make a decision, which I no doubt would have had to have made at some point, but I had been putting it off. So for me, it was about knowing that this wasn't where I wanted to be. I did not want to stay at rock bottom and I needed to make decisions. Choosing to sit and have a pity party is a decision. Like, I could have sat there, I could have wallowed, I could have signed on to the dole. That, you know, we've all got choices, that I could have done that. I didn't want that for myself. I knew that I wanted children at some point. I wanted a marriage at some point. I wanted my home back at some point. So making those decisions. And I think it comes down to just believing in your potential. So for a lot of people, we lose sight of that. And then we lose our power and we let other people make decisions for us. When it comes to business, that's what I come back to each day, is that this is my business. I'm the CEO of my business. I make the decisions and I might make some absolute classic doozies along the way. I have. Like, I've made really crap investments at times. I've also made some spectacularly awesome decisions as well. But I haven't let the negative outweigh the positive. Like, my North Star is that I'm going to help others to simplify their success, to achieve their goals, to achieve their dreams. So when it comes to getting started in business, it starts with the decision. Are you going to do this or are you going to dream about this? Literally, it's like flicking a switch. When you make a decision to go for it. Like starting a car, put your foot on the accelerator. It's not going to go anywhere until you do that. And you might like jump and hop along the way, but that's okay. Make the decision. That's where it starts. Trust that idea that you had is worth something. Go for it. Fall forward.
And it does also come down to self-belief, in terms of having that belief that, yes, I can do this.
I think self-belief is the thing that destroys more dreams than anything else. So I'm a certified business strategist, but I'm also a certified life coach and rapid transformational hypnotherapist, because for a long time, I was just helping people do the do. And you can know all of the things, but if you don't believe in yourself, then they will just gather dust. So for me, working with clients is a holistic approach. So it's mindset, it's foundations, it's mindset, it's strategies, it's systems and support. It's the five pillars of my business. And they all are equally important. Mindset, without mindset, you will literally destroy any knowledge that you've got. It's just the way that it is.
Yeah. And I know what a key part of my journey mindset has actually been, in terms of, I was speaking to someone the other week and they said, but you have such rock solid belief and in yourself. And I was like, yeah, well, why wouldn't I? Like, you know, anything is possible. And I can look out, you know, right now and just be like, okay, this is going to unfold how it's going to unfold, but I believe in me and this journey that we're going on. And I think that is just incredibly important to have. Emma, I've loved our chat today and hearing more about your story and how you can help people in a really kind of, I think it's like a holistic 360 degree way as well. If someone wants to find out more about you or to work with you, where can they find you?
Oh, it'd be fantastic. So you head over to my website, which is emmajohnsonandco.com, and you can find me on all of the social media platforms at Emma Johnson and Co. And I'd love to see you there.
Amazing. And don't forget, if you're thinking, I want to be able to tell my story the way that Emma's told her story today, and I want to understand how being in the media, being seen in a bigger way, safely, I'm all about the safety, how that can actually work for me, take our free quiz, pr-quiz.com, and you'll get a PDF report that will tell you any areas you might need to brush up on, look at, get some more knowledge around so that you feel more comfortable about putting yourself out there. Until next time on the Power of Storytelling podcast, we'll see you then.